Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back, and she's got some good things to us about Jesus. He's coming. Glory to God. Maybe she'll tell us when. We'll just see. Welcome, Billy.
Thank you very much. Gloria, you know, He will come on God's calendar.
Yes, He will.
God has a calendar He keeps. And it's not the Gregorian calendar. It's not the Mayan calendar. It's not the old Roman calendar. It is the God calendar, and it's in Leviticus chapter 23. And we're in the highest holy days right now of that calendar. We're in the epitome of it. At the beginning of the sacred calendar, there are four fulfilled feasts already. Fulfilled Moeds, dates on God's calendar, Passover, right on down to Pentecost. Now we're coming to what is the new year, the new sacred year on God's calendar. And this new year on God's calendar, the civil year begins on God's calendar. It's the seventh month of the sacred calendar, but it's the first month of the civil calendar. And we had the beginning of it on Rosh Hashanah. That was the, you know, God, the evening and the morning were the first day. And it's still like that for the Jews and for this calendar. The evening and the morning make up the day. So, 1 week ago on Rosh Hashanah, in the evening of the September 13th, and then the morning of September 14 is the first day of this civil year. And we begin now the highest holy days of the whole calendar. They're all within just a few days of each other in the same month. There was a partial eclipse on that day. Now we are approaching 1 week later, we're going to see the final blood moon eclipse of the Tetrad. Wow. That's going to be on Sukkot, the 28th.
The 28th.
Of Sukkot. Now.
So is that in my vernacular, is that September?
Tabernacles. September 28th.
September 28th. Okay.
So that's a blood moon, and we'll be talking to you when you can see it, where you can see it. But right now, we're on the 21st of the month of September in our calendar. It's the eighth day of this new year for Israel, new year for God. And tomorrow, on the 22nd of September, Erev means evening. We'll have the evening of Yom Kippur, and 23rd will be the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And then we're going to go down to the 27th of September, and the 28th, we begin our second week on the 28th, and that's going to be the blood moon. This is called Sukkot in Hebrew, and to us it is tabernacles. So the Feast of Tabernacles, which has not been fulfilled, will be fulfilled, and the Jubilee will come when Jesus comes, the Messiah comes, and sets up His kingdom on the earth. So what we're into right now is that high holy days, and we're going to look particularly at prophecy. Without the Old Testament prophets, you really cannot look at our times. And we're going to look at one of the prophets which particularly speaks about that coming time, that coming kingdom on the earth, that coming glory on the earth. We're going to be looking at the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to be looking, now we're looking at the calendar. God set this calendar, and He gave it to the Jews to keep. You cannot understand Bible prophecy. You cannot look at what's going to happen here, Gloria, know what's going to happen, unless you recognize Israel and that it is God's time clock. I was once in Finland, Helsinki, Finland, and I saw this guy with a jeans jacket on, and he had a great big clock on the back of that jeans jacket, kind of like a homemade clock. And he had the hands up there, almost 12, and he had across the top of it, Israel, God's time clock. And it is. If you want to know the times, if you're interested in when Jesus is coming, if you want to know if that's soon, you're going to have to look at what the prophets say. And this prophet we're going to look at in these 2 weeks is Ezekiel. Get your Bible.
Ezekiel.
Open it to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at Ezekiel maybe like you never looked at the book of Ezekiel before. And that book is one of the Old Testament prophets, particularly one that talks about this time that tabernacles foretells, the Feast of Tabernacles. Foretells.
Should we get ready?
We should get ready.
Should we be ready?
We should be
should
ready.
We stay ready.
This prophet that we're going to study, he talks about an alliance between Russia and Iran, for instance. And they're allies now. And it never happened. That was 2,600 years ago, 2,500 years ago.
Have they ever been allies before?
Not before the 70s.
That's awesome.
So what Ezekiel prophesied is coming to pass. So we're going to look at that prophet Ezekiel. In fact, we're going to look at prophets and prophecy itself. What a wonderful thing it is. You know, Gloria, sometimes I think God could have been any way He wanted it to be. Yep. He could have been unapproachable. But no, He lets us work with Him in prayer. He could have...
He's a father.
Every day could just be a surprise what's going to happen. But no, He wrote it down in a book. And He said that's the litmus test.
Way ahead of time.
Way ahead of time. The end, He told, from the beginning.
Yes, He did.
And He said, that's what makes me God, that I can tell you the end from the beginning. Those who claim to tell you, nobody else can make that claim, only He can.
Right.
So now we're going to see when we get to the middle part of Ezekiel, we're going to see prophetic words about nations that are in the news right now. But first we're going to look at prophecy and its place. Go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. And of course, you know, Paul is writing what the Holy Ghost gives him to write. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. This book is the oracles of God. This book, two-thirds of it is prophecy. Much of it has already come to pass. But we're going to be looking at some that's come to pass in the book of Ezekiel and some that is going to come to pass. The oracles of God. God gave oracles. He gave words down through men, down through people. And those we call the oracles of God. That's the chief thing. This book right here is the oracles of God, and all of it came through Jewish scribes, Jewish hands. Maybe Luke, you know, what he wrote, but everything else came through someone who was born a Jew.
I'm glad I'm a word person.
I'm a word person, and we appreciate the oracles of God.
Yes, we do.
Now, the link in the Jewish oral law, which is the Talmud. You know, when Moses was up there receiving the Torah from God and five books were written down, he also got an oral. He was taught things orally. He was three times up that mountain. And he was taught things orally in all those days, which he gave orally to Joshua. Then Joshua gives them orally to the next one. For instance, the Jews are told, don't eat blood. Well, how do you not eat blood? You're going to slaughter animals. You know, there'll be a little blood in the meat. So he was given a process when he was in heaven by which to kill the animal, bleed it out, and you don't get any blood in the meat. And it's very intricate how you do it. It's called ritual slaughtering. Well, I'm glad they didn't put that in the Bible, and I have to read through that when I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. But it was told by Moses. He told it to Joshua. They told it to the ones who did the ritual slaughtering. So there are things that are in the oral law this is what it says about prophecy. The link between the Creator and His creatures by means of prophecy is one of the foundations of the creation of the world. In other words, Moses was told that one of the foundations in the creation of the world was that God, the Creator, is going to communicate with the people. Hallelujah!
Praise
and
God.
It is a foundational truth that He communicates with us. Now, He communicated through prophets. And twice as many prophets arose among the Jews as there were Israelites who left Egypt.
An amazing story.
2 million left Egypt.
Wow.
So that means they had 4 million prophets. Now just think about it. When they left Egypt, they had these prophets who who daily, you know, they went to and they prophesied what they should do, and you went to them for direction because you didn't have your own little copy of the Bible at the house. And you didn't have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. Only the prophet, the priest, and the king.
Yeah.
So the prophets would prophesy. Now, this is also from the oral law. Only such prophecy that was needed for later generations was written down.
Well,
of these millions of Jews, the prophecies of only 48 men and 7 women have been recorded in in the scriptures. Of these 55 people, in many cases, it's just a sentence or two what they prophesied. But, praise the Lord, we have it now in the Bible. The Hebrew Bible is called the Tanakh. T stands for Torah. That's the first 5 books. N stands for the Nevi'im, the prophets. Eventually they were written down. And Ka stands for Kotvim, the writings. Like, for instance, David put together all the Psalms. Some of them are from Moses. And David put them together into the book. Now, the prophets, God tells us in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, here's something really interesting. The last prophets in the Old Testament are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And they knew that there were going to be no further prophecies until Elijah would come, who would say that the Messiah has come. Remember the end of Malachi? It says Elijah will come. So then there's a wide space there of no prophecies. So the men of the great assembly, the Sanhedrin, then they canonized the Bible and they put the prophets all together in there and made the canon of the scriptures. Peter in the New Testament reveals how prophetic scripture came, and he calls New Testament believers to take heed to the Old Testament prophets. Because when Peter's walking on the earth, there is no Bible except what we call the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Kotvim, the writings. We call it the Old Testament. That's the only Bible they've got. So Peter tells those followers, if you want to know when Jesus comes, you check the Old Testament prophets. So Peter, in 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, he describes that he had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they heard a voice from heaven declare that this is the Son of God, and to listen to him. But Peter said, we have something more sure than that. We saw a vision. We heard a voice. But we got something more sure. We've got the Word written down. Verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises, in your hearts knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he tells us that in the 2 Peter is actually a prophetic verse. The whole thing is prophetic about Jesus coming. And he says, when you want to understand these things, you've got this word, the Old Testament prophets. And if you'll pay attention to what they say, it will be like a light shining in a dark place. It's pretty dark right now in this world. But if we want to know what happens with Iran, if we want to know what happens with Egypt, Iraq, Babylon, what prophet tells us? Ezekiel. And so we're going to be looking there for a light shining in a dark place. Bless the Lord. Now, to understand prophecy, you have to give Israel a place in your thinking. Because Israel is the prophetic. Israel has the prophetic anointing upon them. Remember we started with this verse, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. They got the prophecies that we're going to go by right now. Psalm 105, the whole Psalm 105 is about God's dealing with Israel. And in Psalm 105, 14, that'll be on page 3 of your notes, Glo. On Psalm 105, 14, it is written, "He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." Now, what it's talking about there is when Israel was just a young little nation. Actually, it was just Abraham and Sarah. And remember, Sarah came over to Abimelech, we say Abimelech, and Abraham said, tell them you're my sister, or else they're going to kill me or something. So she's over there in Abimelech, he could make her in his harem if he wanted, but God warns him, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. It also happened with Rebekah in Genesis 26:11. So it's only the matriarchs and patriarchs. It's just Abraham and Sarah. But the nation was in Sarah's womb.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be the mother. Abraham's the father. She's going to be the mother of the nation of Israel. And that is the nation that has prophecy on it. When Jesus' disciples asked him, when are you coming? When are you going to set up your kingdom on the earth? He said, watch the fig tree. The fig tree is Israel. Because that's the prophetic nation. It was a prophetic nation. Then it's the prophetic nation. Now, my daughter Brenda, because, you know, we're talking about blood moons, we're talking about the calendar. She said, Mother, I grew up in Sunday school. I never once heard in Sunday school that there was a connection between Passover and Easter. And there's a great connection. Easter is a fulfillment of Passover. So if you want to be in the know, you cannot ignore Israel. And you cannot ignore God's calendar. God has chosen that His holy written word be more than one half prophecy. Some say two-thirds. Most has been fulfilled. God's litmus test for being God is telling the end from the beginning. He said, I'm not going to turn to it, but it's Isaiah 41. You can read that chapter. And He says, who are you over here that are bringing forth these false notions? You see if you can tell us the end. If you can tell us the end, then we'll know you're God. But you can't do it. I'm the only one that can tell you the end from the beginning. So the litmus test for being God is prophecy. He is God. Just think of it, Glo. Those things that we've already seen much of this prophecy come to pass. So we know that He is God. The Messiah did come. God's design, by His design, the Jews, Israel, and His fulfilled prophecies concerning that prophetic nation are the witnesses that He is God. We're going to be looking more that He is the one who scattered them, and then He promised, I'm going to regather them. And that nation of Israel, is the witness that God is God. You cannot ignore Israel. You are foolish to be anti-Semitic. I'm going to read to you here from Isaiah, another prophet. And Isaiah prophesied around the same time as a little earlier, but a little longer than Ezekiel. We're going to look at a chart of these prophets. But Isaiah 43, 1 through 12. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He's talking about the Jews. When he talks about the physical nation of Israel, he calls them Jacob. He doesn't call them Abraham. Abraham had other sons. He doesn't call them Isaac. Isaac had another son. He calls them Jacob when he's talking about the physical people, the Jews. All 12 sons of Jacob became the Jewish nation. So Isaiah 43, 1. But now thus saith Jehovah that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Then he says, when you walk through the water, when you walk through the flood, I'll be with you. Isaiah 43, 5, fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him, Israel, the Jews, Jacob, for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. There are people in this earth, they got eyes, but they don't see. They got ears, but they don't hear. Who are they? They're the nations. We're going to be looking at this group of people. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, this is the truth. Now to Jacob, he says, to Jews, to Israel, you are my witnesses, saith Jehovah.
You are my witnesses.
And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me. I, even I, am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have shown when there was no strange God among you. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord.
Praise God.
Going to read to you. Now, once Queen Victoria said to Disraeli, who was her Jewish prime minister, give me succinctly proof that there is God. He said, the Jew. They are the proof that there is God. He said in Isaiah 44:7, and who, as I shall call and declare it and set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people are the Jews, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto thee. Israel is manifesting God unto us. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no God. I say not. There is no God but God and His witness to the whole world. Right now they don't see it. They fight about it. They don't want to let Israel have Jerusalem. They're the witness to them that He's God.
Praise God. Wow. That's good, Billy. That's exciting, isn't it? Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.